want to thank you for this morning. Even in the midst of where we are at, we know you always meet us in a special way. As we listen to your word, as we humble ourselves before you, say that you will speak to us, teach us as we are your student, and guide us, give us revelation. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I'm going to use this board here. Today we are talking about, actually it's Vision Sunday. And the whole idea is that we take a look at why we are here as a church, in this community, what's so special about us as a community. Why are we here? And what are we called to do as a church? And the whole idea of the church, just like Derek was saying, is pretty big. But we don't need to look far. We can just look at the Word of God. We're all students. We are not expert. That we can learn and encourage one another in this journey. So we'll just continue. And again, we want to read this scripture. Jesus here talking to his disciple. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by the flesh and blood, but by the heavenly Father, my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose here on earth will be loose in heaven." And I like the whole thought. It's a crowded podium. There were two specific references as Jesus spoke of the church in the New Testament. In the gospel, and this is one of those passages. I like to build. Sometimes it's hard when you go to a new place and you have Bible studies or prayer, because I'm always looking around. Wow, well, I can do that in our house. You're distracted by the structure and everything. And I love, you know, and people said that even the mechanics, sometimes it's hard for them to, I talk to some, and they said it's hard to pray when you're praying and then you hear these cars going outside, oh, that car needs to change there, whatever, they needs to repair. But as in building, I love that. In the background of this passage, the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be doing the Gospel of Matthew after summer. That will be our study that will take us to the end of the year till the next year. We'll be studying the book of Matthew in August. And it's a wonderful book, but it explains the gospel of the kingdom, the laws of the kingdom, the heart of the kingdom that Jesus came and preached about the kingdom. And here, on this background, as Jesus was talking, Jesus, the Son of God, he came, he preached of the kingdom. He speaks of the heart of the kingdom. He demonstrated the power of the kingdom. And still, people in that time rejected the message of the kingdom. The leaders, the religious leaders at that time, hardened their hearts. Why? Because they were looking for another kingdom, a physical kingdom, a kingdom of power and military might, as they've known for the kingdom of David. And not only with power, but subjugation among the Gentile enemies. So here, Jesus, in the book of Matthew, and then he brought out this incredible insight. He said to Peter, "Peter, upon your declaration of who I am, on this rock, on that faith, on that statement, I will build my church." Now, when I said that I like building, you just don't build. Sometimes we build out of our own idea. And in Fiji, people love to build. They like to work in their hands and in the villages. So they build their house without no plans. They just go, just measure it this way, measure it this way. Few posts here, and bang, there was a house. The problem is when the cyclone came, none of those houses stood. There were no master plan. There were no pattern. And I like that thought. It has its consequence about building and how to build carefully. So the Lord Jesus here, he said that he is going to build his church. Today, I just want to focus a little bit on this for us to just have a glimpse. It's easy for us to come. Yes, we are a church, we are family, and this wonderful stuff that reflects who we are. But do we really understand God's heart for the church? How did it came about? Who thought about this? Jesus said he will build. Paul described him that he is the master builder. He has a divine pattern. There is a blueprint in every time that Jesus, that God did something. Even in the Old Testament, there is a divine pattern that he instructs his people. This is how you should go about this. Jesus is the architect, he's the wise master builder, and he will build his church according to his pattern. Amen? Amen? Not ours. And over from creation until the New Testament, still now, God has been giving us, mankind, how to do things right according to his pattern. I like that. I like the fact that Jesus said, "I am going to build." That means my blueprint of building the church is not man-made. Amen? Amen? It has to come from God. It's divine. It's kingdom. It reflects the purpose of the kingdom. We look at some, and that's what we see as in the church today. The purpose of God is the same. The principle and the foundation of God for church is the same. It might vary in different culture, different scaffolding and building, but the principles, the purpose of its existence and its calling doesn't change. So I will say God's master plan. In the dictionary, the word pattern, in the Collins Dictionary, you say a model proposed for imitation. Another translation in the Collins Dictionary about pattern, a model resemblance or likeness. We see, if we go back to the Old Testament, we see God's beginning this master plan. Remember the story of Noah? Yeah? God spoke to him to build an ark, and he went out and built it. He scratched his head. How shall I build this ark? No. God said to Noah, "You build this ark, Noah, This is how you do it. Everything is exact what God commanded it to do. Amen? It's the pattern. Noah didn't do it in his own thinking. God said, the ark has to be this way. The length has to be this way. It has to be this way and this way and this way. The ark symbolizes salvation. It is not just a man-made plan. So Noah couldn't do it on his own. So the heart of God and his blueprint given to man for us to follow. So I like it when I was reading, this is cool. It gives us, it saves us from a lot of pressure and try to build on our own. Amen? When God has given us the mandate and the blueprint. So when Jesus said, I will build my church, it means he has the master plan and the blueprint and the divine plan to carry out. And he given it to us. Amen? The moment we try to build the church on our own, we get into trouble. And so, as I read through this, I am convicted, I am nervous, as an individual, as a leader, for us to do things the right way. And also, there is another project that God brought about in the Old Testament to Moses in bringing the Israelite out of slavery and then into the wilderness. He gave them something. He said, I want you to build the tabernacle. It's called the tabernacle of Moses. And Moses, you should do it. Bring people to help you. That's what he did. But the master plan, the exact, the material, the measurement, and everything comes from me. Do not add anything or take away. And he gave Moses the blueprint. Exact. We see that in the temple of Solomon. Everything are not man-made. The idea doesn't come from man. God gave mankind the blueprint and the divine plan. This is how you should do. This is exact to each measurement. What kind of material you should use, what kind of material you should not use. The people obeyed Moses, and all was built according to that pattern. Amen? Temple of Solomon. Even the Ezekiel, in his vision, the building of the temple. It was all God is the one that brought about the master plan. This is how you should do it. And this is the thing, guys. Every time when everything is finished according to the purpose of God, what happened? The presence of God comes down and descends upon this place. As a mark of approval, his presence comes. We see that in the tabernacle of Moses, God's presence descend upon his people. The temple of Solomon, his presence appear. Everything is done according to. And Jesus says here, I will build my church. He is the what? The master planner. He is the one that is building. Amen? Isn't that encouraging to see it? And every time throughout history, when man fulfill the requirement and work according to the master plan of Jesus, blessings come upon them. The presence of God come. We see that in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, all this pattern that we've been learning about Noah and the tabernacle of Moses, even the materials that are there in the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies, everything that present in that place, God instructed, this is how you should do it. It should be built from this. The Ark of the Covenant, he gave measurement. The type of wood, that's amazing. Because it's symbolic, yeah, to the pattern of the kingdom. There's a reason why he gave us his divine plan. Jesus, again, he said, I will build my church. then all these things that we see in the Old Testament points towards the Messiah, points towards the church. The tabernacle of Moses, in terms of worship, in terms of gathering together, in terms of the centrality of why we gather as redeemed people. I will build my church. The thing is this, he didn't say, I will build my churches. It's not plural, yeah? It's singular. He said, upon this rock, I will build my churches. I will build my church. And the church is the community of all true believers in Christ. All true believers. And that's an exciting thing to know. We look at the church is the place where there is worship. The church is where the redeemed people of God come together. And the center of that is Christ himself. And all of us who have declared our faith in Christ, who have repented from our old ways, who once to serve Christ with all our heart. We are the church. Amen? You and I, the redeemed people of the Lord. So today we join with millions of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are worshiping, joining, doing exactly the same thing that we are doing, worshiping Jesus, being taught by Jesus and his word, loving and also being encouraged so that we can be that church that minister and bring light to the world. So we are no longer a church built according to Moses' law in the Old Testament. We are not the church only specifically for one particular group or nation. But we are the new covenant church, chosen out of every tongue, every nation, every tribe, every kindred of those who truly believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And we don't need to look far to see that. Sorry, that was the tabernacle of Moses. Everything in there, all the divine, all the plan, blueprint of building that is given by God. It was not man-made. The church, the community to all believers at all times. Our purpose is that we minister to believers, nurture them. This is where, sorry, I've written that double time. Should be worship. I like what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in their conversation, John chapter 4. Jesus and the Samaritan woman, they were talking. And then suddenly the conversation turned into geographical claims of worship. The Samaritan woman said to Jesus, she said, well, we worship on the mountain. We worship what we do know. My forefathers worship on the mountain. And you Jews, you worship in Jerusalem. Jesus answered to the woman and said, listen, your forefathers worship on the mountain. We worship there, for salvation is from the Jew. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. And then he said something very powerful in that scripture. He said, but a time is coming and has now come when the worshipers will no longer worship on the mountain or in Jerusalem, but they will worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? And for these are the kind of worshiper that the Father is looking for. The amazing thing about that conversation in John chapter 4 is that Jesus gave this woman a prophecy. Two important things in this conversation. Jesus said to the woman, a time is coming and has now come. And then also he said, for the Father is looking for this kind of worshipers who will worship him this way, in spirit and in truth. Now, maybe all the scholars here, probably about, I think, 50 or 60 years after Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman, we're all familiar with his story. It says that the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. I think it was Emperor Nero. So we render possible, impossible for Jews to worship on the temple like they used to. The cool thing about what Jesus said is that before the temple was destroyed, in his word to the woman, he transferred the requirement of worship. He said, it's going to be not here or not here. Jesus transferred the requirement of worship from a physical or material condition to a spiritual condition, as he stated. It's going to be like no longer. It's going to be this or this. These physical places that we worship. He said, it's going to be in spirit and in truth. For this is the kind of worshiper that the Father is looking for. Amen? In Revelation, he also speaks about that God said, for behold, the dwelling place of God is among his people. We read in the New Testament, the book of Acts, we've been studying that in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of the chapter 1 and chapter 2. We saw these things begin to unfold. God's master plan for the church, the requirement of church from physical, from the traditional, to people who are covenant with God based on their belief, people who are redeemed, people who have turned away and repent and have found faith in Christ Jesus. And we see that in the New Testament. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People gave their life to the Lord. They put their faith in Christ. The church spread. And everywhere they go, Peter stood up and preached. We heard 3,000 people came. These are things they wouldn't have done before until God poured his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. When Jesus said, worship in spirit and in truth, only a redeemed, regenerated spirit can fellowship and communion with God, spirit to spirit. Amen? And that's a powerful thing. So when God, when we see the book of the book of Acts, the working, everyone, even Cornelius, everyone who came to faith in Christ, they repent, they turn away from their sins, and they were baptized, and then what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. All the Gentiles, all the Jews were experiencing the same thing, that God has come upon his people by the person of the Holy Spirit, dwelling among believers. That's where the worship is taking place. That the church are not made of building or denomination or structures. It's the people, believers of God. So if we close here today and we go to McDonald's together and sit there as a church, the church has moved to McDonald's. Yeah? Oh, they said they kick us out of here and we go to, say, Seth's house. We're meeting at Seth. The church has moved there. The church is not restricted by the four walls or any physical confinement. Wherever you go, the church goes. Amen? And that's us. The purpose of the church is worship. We gather here together, not just to sing songs, but we gather together to worship our Creator, our Savior, in spirit and in truth. Not fake. We come and focus on Jesus. We're not worrying about other things. Jesus, I love you. Oh, I wonder what, I don't agree with what my friend said the other day. It's easy for us to do that. But when we come, that our hearts and our minds are engaged together in the presence of God and the goodness of all that He has done for us. The God that makes us. The one that gave His life for the church. A church is also, as we said before, is a place where we bring people, train them, bring people into maturity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. And it says one of the obligations of the church is to nurture people to maturity in faith. If I come to church every day for the past decade and my life is still the same as before, then maybe I haven't really grasped the relationship that I need with Jesus, or my church is probably not moving in the direction in building the people to see that they're growing. And it's a challenge. It's a good challenge because it's a divine obligation for us. And we see that model in Acts chapter 4. We see the lives and the new church that was formed in Jerusalem. They were learning from the apostles. They were loving each other. There was generosity and fellowship in there. Not only that, but they were sharing also in the Lord's Supper, in their worship. Not only that, they were engaged also in mission, in evangelism. That's what also one of the area, the purpose of the church is the evangelistic church. Declaring the gospel is probably one of the ministry of the church towards the world. When I said, and I mentioned before how the Old Testament, when God gave the instruction to the leaders to do something, to build something from His divine plan, when they follow that instruction, God's presence fall, not only as a mark of these blessings, but also dwelling with His people in terms of their obedience and their submission to Him, to His purpose. The church there's something powerful. Sometimes we underestimate the power and the presence of God in our midst. I met a couple that I haven't seen before for a long time, that I've never seen them for a long time. And we met in Kvadrat. And they're not believers. They came and said, Julie. So the husband came and just hugged me. Everybody was looking around. I was looking around. As big crowd. Okay, what's going on here? Maybe these two are brothers. But just this excitement. I said, we miss you. You know, they don't come to church. They don't go to church. We miss you. We miss fellowshipping with you, talking with you, spending time together, hanging out with you. And I used to coach their son in rugby. But as I talk to them this time, you can hear the different tone. Please pray for us. Please remember our son. We want a nice Christian young lady to be the wife. They're looking, they are seeing the model. There's something about the church that is very attractive to the world. When we walk right, live right as a church, it has an attractive power. Because when people see the church, not how beautiful the building is, when they see the church who are walking according to God's purpose, it's very attractive because they see it, they see an answer to their need in their lives. Amen? Amen. When the world look at us, when the world see the church, secure, obedient, doing what God calls us to do, the world will say, ah, I like that. I want that. It's not the music. It's not how good a program is, but there is the anointing of God has such an attractive power that people see it. It draws them because they feel okay, there's something there that I want to know. So church, we need to. And that thing is the presence of God himself. Amen? The head of the church. The master builder of the church. The one that is building his church, convicting his church, bringing us, realigning us again to his requirement. This is where fulfillment comes. Only and only that we are able to step out into the world with smile and security on our face, knowing that God will use us in whatever way. You never know. Our service every Sunday, and I told the leaders the other last Saturday, you never know who turns up in this church. Amen? Every Sunday. What we do as we prepare our service, we are preparing a feast. It's like we're preparing a big feast. We in the islands, we like feast. So I look like somebody who comes from that community. We love to bring hospitality to our guest. And that is what is reflected here. God not only called us to be a church, but he given us the mandate on how to be church. This can go on for a long time. But I want to just bring that home to us in a more practical way. That God has I like the thought of creation. I think my wife was going on with the Sunday school about it. In the beginning, God spoke his words. And things came into existence. Amen? He spoke and this came. But when it comes to mankind, he didn't say, no, he formed mankind in his hands. And he fashioned and shaped according to his purpose. Amen? He didn't just call out. Yes, he said, let there be sun. Let there be light. Let there be this. Let there be that. The moment when it comes to creating the apex of his creation, he reached out his hand and he fashioned and formed us. That's us. That's mankind in his likeness, in his image. I'm going all over the place here today, but you will get what I'm trying to say. The image that we are created in the image of God. The word image means something that depicts something else, a painting or a statue. When we think of God's original intention of creating us, fashioning us, carefully creating mankind, you and I, in his image. In ancient time, rulers and emperor, they would put up statue of themselves, the image of the emperor. And it depicts power and authority and dominion over territory that they have claimed, that they have defeated. So it depicts something. For us being the image of God, the church created in the image of God, is not just a picture, an image that is still. We are the made in the image of God, in his likeness, that is breathing, that is alive, is not a statue, that we are functioning, we are producing, we are doing new things and amazing stuff, that we become the representative of the one we are created in his image. Amen? That we become a functioning church, and that is what God created us to be. To function, to move, and corporately, that we are finding ourselves in our place in ministry, in whatever we can serve, whatever capacity, that the church of God, these redeemed people, believers, are moving and functioning, doing what God has called them to do. Amen. I'm getting excited here. But that's the purpose, that God didn't form us like the emperors and leaders and rulers, the statue that doesn't speak, that we are created in the image of God. We are alive. We are moving and doing things. And the Spirit of God in us. So, I want to bring it home. Are we functioning? Are we believers who are functioning? Or we believers and members of the church who are just watching? Are we functioning corporately as a church? Or are we watching while others are functioning? I think that's one of the challenges. I think is the exciting thing is that God is with us. Oh, when this is coming, never mind. Our mandate here, as I see, apart from us being a family, place of belonging, a home for others, that we become a place of worship in which we prioritize in our worship the presence of the Almighty. That when we come together, that our hearts are open and ready. Not just being patient with long speeches. But sometimes the word of God, he speaks to us. Sometimes there are things, aha, this is for me. And we've been shaped by it. We've been equipped by it. So when we look around us, we see how privileged we are to have this community that we have. Amen? You know, how many of us are happy with your community? Give a big hand. Amen. But we are functioning as a community. And the challenge here is we're always in transition. People come, people go. There's a lot of movement going on in our church. And that's okay. That's the way we are. And how about we move from just settling and being a transitional church to be an equipping church? We have great leaders. I think one of the biggest resources we have with us are the people that we have. Amen? You are our resources. Each and every one of us, we have something to contribute in the growth of this church. Not just a few people. All of us. And the challenge is to find, Lord, what is it? Where do you want me? What do you want me to do? Where can I help? Over the years, we rely so much on our volunteers in the growth and the functioning of this church. But we, in essence also, that it's not the purpose for us to burn everybody out. But find your place. Where do you want me to serve, Lord? How do you want me to contribute? To what degree do you want me to contribute? We see that as a moving church, people come and go. This is a center of equipping. We have growth groups that are functioning to facilitate those areas. We have fellowship. Some of our place of equipping and growth happens in the kitchen, not in the classroom setting. Okay, step number one, phase two. It's about relationship. While we are relating to each other, we are inspiring people, we are motivating people, we are bringing people in closer to Jesus and also inspire them in their calling. And that's the thing about the church. It's not limited only to our growth group. It's about relationship. When you build relationship with people, you inspire them, you encourage them, you see their need, you pray for each other. And that's some of the dynamic that we see here. Hospitality, fellowship, love, genuine love for one another. In the church, we are going to rub each other differently, in the wrong way. Sometimes we'll be offended by things. Of course, we are from different cultures. People say things, we'll be sensitive. But this is where grace abounds. Amen? That we extend grace to people. That we reach out and embrace one another. And love one another. This unconditional love that has no condition. I love you. Even if you don't like me, I still love you. Amen? That's the church. That as Christ loved the church, die for us. That we are, when we are still sinners, Christ did that for us. And so are we, to do that for others. That's part of building one another. The church in the New Testament, they were that. They loved one another. Their love was genuine. Their worship was genuine. Their fellowship, their generosity was genuine. They gave to each other. They break bread together and remember the incredible thing that God, Jesus Christ, has done for them through laying down his life on his death and his resurrection is able for them to have new life. Transformation comes together as they share their testimony about the goodness of what God is doing. And I pray for that, for our lives as a church, as SIC. Sometimes, I remember a few years ago, I want to end with this, I was a worship director, probably one of the biggest church in the state of Oregon. And they hired me. We have about 10 worship teams, full set, full bands. They have audition for you to join the worship team. They come and they go through one Saturday just auditioning. Okay, Ed, we'll sign you up and you know. And I'm just like, huh? And I thought of our church in Fiji, just one, that's Reuven. Yeah, go for it. One pair of flip-flops for 6 months and we're going for it. One church closed for the whole year, that's it. And I'm there and I saw the luxury. And so as a worship leader, I don't know where to begin. But multitude, we have about four servers in one weekend. And we have probably the biggest single group in the state of Oregon. And it's amazing. My mind was like, wow, I never know this kind of church exists. Of course, it exists all over the world. We see multitude of peoples worshiping together. And sometimes, whether we are three or we are thousands, yeah? We are still what? The church. Amen? And sometimes in this closeness like this that we become intimate with people, that luxury we can afford when we are multitude. And so I want to say to us, take advantage of this we have. Get close to people. Get intimate with others. Know their journey. Get to know people. Make an effort to do that. And that's what the church is all about. How are you, my brother? Oh, I'm good. How are you? Really? Oh, I have to tell you something. I'll tell you, that office there, sometimes I have to plan with Kay and Elena. Maybe we need to move our meeting early because the people are knocking on the door weekly. Can we talk? Can we this? Can we that? It's coming. They're coming. One day someone will come to you and ask you for help. Ask you for counsel. Ask you to pray. So we gotta be ready. Amen? We become a functioning church. all of us corporately become a functioning body, building one another, building the church. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for teaching us to be the church. Help us to know our calling, where you call us to be. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to fellowship one another with genuine hearts. Help us to be ready to be a source of encouragement to those who do not know you, so they can know you, to point people to the right direction. We want to thank you that you want to do. You have a plan for this church. We want to thank you that we belong to an incredible kingdom. You are our Lord and our King. Thank you. We bless you. Amen.